Bible. We're going to continue our this amazing story of this prophet Jonah. And whatever happened to him, it's a miracle. And it's a miracle that Jesus himself mentioned it in the gospel. Remember that? And I don't know how Pastor Jim taught you last Sunday about this guy, this prophet Jonah. You know, he's pro-Israelite, right? He's a nationalist. He's an anti-foreigner, right? And to me, those are not important. To me, he is a very strong-willed prophet. And make it simple, he's stubborn. You know, and so even though he received a command from God to do something, which is to preach the message of repentance to the Ninevites, he refused to do that. He refused to do that because of his own, you know, so-called his own belief or his personality. But this interesting, the story, the unfolding of this story is very interesting. Every single step, you can see the description of this Jonah's personality vividly. You know, may I guide you through back to the chapter 1, verse 1 again? Okay, and quickly, let's cover a little bit to the message today, 7, verse 7. Look at verse 1 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Hey, God is talking to you, right? We would love to have God talking to us. And now God talked to Jonah, and he has that once-a-lifetime opportunity, and he decided not to listen to it. And look at what he did. I want you to pay attention to all those verbs in this passage. What do you mean by verse? Verse is some actions that Jonah took, right? Okay, look at it. When God talked to Jonah, he said, go to the great city of Nineveh, which is to the east of Palestine, and preach the message of repentance to those people. However, look at verse 3. Look at the action that a series of action that Jonah took, interestingly, in the opposite direction, right? He ran, that's the first verb, he ran from the law, and then he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, then he found a ship bound for that port. Paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed out for Tarshish and free from the law. A similar action, you know where the Palestine, the terrain there is a plateau about around city of Jerusalem, and you go down to the coastline. Okay, picture this: Nineveh is in the east, and when God tell him to go east, he turn around and go west, right? And why the Bible use so many verses? Why Bible spend time give us those detailed description or detailed account of what Jonah is doing? God only spoke once, but that Jonah did many, many, many actions. You know what I mean? That's a contrast. God spoke once, say go east, and then a man in refusal to God's command has to do a lot of works, spend a lot of effort to get away from God's words. And it's useless. You know, so many actions. See, he ran away, he headed for the west, and then he find a boat, and he paid the fare, he went onto the boat, and then he sailed out to the sea. He thinks, wow, I keep myself away from that my missions. And then I put a natural obstacle between me and my mission, and thinking that that will accomplish His will. Now, I don't have to do whatever God wants me to do, which He doesn't like it, the idea. Well, can people do that? Can people be successful in refusing to obey God? You know, I put a scripture there, Amos 3:8. Can we all turn to that book, Amos chapter 3, verse 8, just two books before this. And you look at that verse, book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 8. It clearly teaches us that the sovereign Lord has spoken. Who can not prophesy? Is that right? So, see, if you look back to Jonah's account, God spoke to Jonah, right? God spoken. How can a prophet not prophesy? Which says that nobody can refuse the will of God. But this stubborn Jonah tried to make it happen. He tried to be the first one to resist God's will. A series of action was taken because of that. But the Bible will teach us this is useless. Then why Jonah is doing this? Why? When you are reading that story, you have to keep thinking of this. And then if you continue to read all the way to our today's passage, see, there's a storm, verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Again, pay attention to the following passage. He also, again, described the actions Jonah took. Look, then the but Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Can you believe that? I don't think so. See, the ship is rocking back and forth because of the great wind and a big storm. And that guy, Jonah, he just hid himself, went down to the deck, lie down on the bed, and fell into deep sleep. I think he pretend to sleep. He tries to ignore what is happening outside. You know what I mean? You know, just like, you know, if you had to, just like we are facing something that is inevitable in front of us. And you couldn't run away from it. All you choose is cover your own eyes. I didn't see it, okay? I don't see it, so it's not happening to me. Something like that. So he went down the deck and chose to sleep to ignore what is happening around him. Every time when I read the book of Jonah, I cannot not pay attention to all those useless action that Jonah took. But it's no exception. We all did the same thing, you know. Bible teaches us God is a sovereign God. His will prevail. But we are not seeking out what's God's will for us, and so we can be obedient to Him. Sometimes we just serve our own interests. What I like, okay, I like to do this. If what I'm trying to do is not in accord with God's will, we choose our own way. That's what Jonah did, right? And so you are circling around. No matter where you go, there is no escape from God's sovereign power. That's what's happening here. Well, even after Jonah was confronted by the sailor, he still refused to follow God's will. I continue to read. And then, verse 7, that's today's passage right now. Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Wow, he is not lucky. this is interesting. Okay, and then, so they ask him, tell us, who is responsible for this, making all this trouble for us? What do you do? What kind of job you have? He said, oh, I'm a prophet. What kind of prophet? I'm a prophet of the Jehovah God. And that's, you know, Bible teaches us that he told them beforehand what he does, right? And then, where do you come from? What's your country? From what people are you? He answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. That terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? And Bible tells us that he explained that to them, right? The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, what should we do to you to make the sea come down for us? You see any change of attitude on Jonah until this moment? Did you see any? We hope so, right? You know, he tried to escape from God. Nobody know about him. When he is still, you know, traveling in land, you know, he traveled by himself. He did not tell everybody about his story, and nobody knows it. And then when he went on that boat, he sailed out. And then that crowd becomes smaller. And now they're facing a storm. And they had to find out who is responsible. So then his responsibility, his mission was revealed. His identity was revealed. But that didn't change anything. He still do whatever he can try to escape from the mission that he was asked to do. To a degree, his solution is death. I would rather die. I don't want to do that mission. So look at what he's replied to the sailor. Verse 12. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, he replied, and you will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And look at the afterward, the sailor didn't immediately throw him out into the sea, right? They tried to guide the ship to the shore, but they couldn't. Because everything was in God's control. So you can see that to what degree that Jonah refused to be obedient to God. He is waiting to die. His solution is not to go to the limit, to the extreme, and then if nothing can be helpful, I would just give up and return back to whatever God wants to do. No, he is determined. He is determined to go all the way. He's willing to sacrifice his own life. He doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. Wow. Look at this. His solutions is to death, to die, then to save the foreigner that he hates. Well, I think what we can learn from this, what Jonah's action is, well, maybe you are angry with God sometimes because God didn't spoke to you like God spoke to Jonah. Sometimes in our daily life, in our daily task and difficulty, you try to discern God's will for your life. And you couldn't quite figure it out. And you just keep facing a lot of difficulty. So you have a question. You have a question for God. I need answer. And so you kind of, to a degree, you're angry with your God. Why don't you show your will to me so I know how can I be obedient to you? But be careful. Are you sure that when God does show his will to us, you will be obedient? Or you just asking God to fulfill your own wish? You know, And you have to know that this is a wonderful story, example we can learn from Jonah's life, that sometime when God's will is revealed to you or to us, to human being, we still choose not to obey it. And we can learn from the consequence of this story that what should we do? What is the correct attitude for us? You know, it's a sinful nature of us preventing us from be obedient to God. Even though a prophet is still need to repent of his sins before God. Well, I just want you to learn that no human's resistance to God's will can be achieved. What we try to do is we want to discern God's will, and we don't want whatever we do like Jonah is doing, because that's in vain. That won't lead us to anything. Let's continue to read. Then what happened? Instead, the men did their best to roll back to land. I just shared with you, and they could not. So they cry out to the Lord in verse 14. O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you please. Then they took Jonas and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. And this the man greatly feared the Lord. At least the man greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and then bowed to him. What happened is, Jonah, we will continue Jonah's story later on next week, okay? Pastor Jim will share with you. But during the old incident, sometime we are the one that in the story, and we couldn't see ourselves clearly, and people around us can see it. Just like those little sailors on that ship. They all can see it. Wow, we pray to this God, and then we put this man into the sea, and the storm come down. Somebody must do something, right? The God that we are worshiping is in control of everything. Even the people around Jonah knows about that. How come Jonah is not aware of this? It is not, you know, it just tells us very clearly this. It's not knowing or not knowing God's will. It's your obedience matters. The people around you, those sailors, they greatly fear the Lord because of that. They realize they are limited. They realize there is a sovereign God. They realize that God is doing everything, and we had to obey his will. But Jonah didn't. That stubborn Jonah didn't. But right now, we don't want to get into Jonah's part. There's another story in the NT, in the New Testament, can be parallel with this story. Remember the storm Jesus and disciples are facing? Can we all turn to book of Matthew? Gospel of Matthew 8, verse 23-27. Jesus calmed the storm. Remember that story? Okay, make sure you turn to Matthew 8. Okay, Matthew 8, verses 23-27. And we're going to read that, okay? There's another song story here. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a fiery storm came up on the lake, so the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Wow, just like Jonah. But it's totally different, okay? The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and he was completely calm. Okay, same thing. There's a doing there. They cast lot. Those sailors, they cast lot, and they know, oh, this guy is sinning against God. We must do something on him. So they threw him into the sea, and the storm came down. And now in this new NT story, Jesus rebukes the waves and winds, and the storm came down. Same thing, right? And look at the, let me read you verse 27. That's the most important part. When he was completely calm, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Obey him. See, disciple and the crowd on that ship, they see Jesus doing that miraculous thing, talking, rebuking to the seas, and the sea and the storm come down, and they are amazed. And they ask that question, what kind of man is this? So in a sense, they realize that Jesus is God. Jesus had God power over nature, right? So in that story, Jesus is teaching his disciple, who am I? Who am I really are? I am the Son of God. I am the sovereign Lord of this nature, right? So the same thing happened in Jonah's story. When that storm was calm, the sailors all greatly feared the Lord. You remember that passage? So the sailors recognized there's a sovereign God is in control of this whole incident. Unfortunately, everybody on the ship realized there's a sovereign Lord that we need to obey him, but not Jonah. So Jonah has to be inside that fish for 3 days and even 3 nights, right? But it's all God's doing, because Jonah's 3 days and 3 nights inside that ship, inside that fish, is a type, become a type of Jesus. Suffering, death, and resurrection. Remember when Jesus repeat that miracle, that's why he teaches us. Okay? So the teaching, the point is, you know, everybody can see that. Only us couldn't see it. Everybody, the sailors, the disciples, all everybody can see this is God. We need to obey him. But Jonah couldn't. Well, so when you are reading this story, you don't want to identify yourself with Jonah. You're going to be in big trouble, right? However, most of the time, we end up just exactly like Jonah. We don't see it. Everything happens around us. We just don't see it. Now, you were brought up here in this wonderful family, wonderful neighborhood, nice church. You have this, you know, whatever that God brings in you. But you don't see this is all the providence from God. You take it for granted. Everything happens around you. You just close your eye on it. You know what I mean? You say, oh, I believe, oh, let me confound you a little bit, okay? You say, oh, I believe, homosexual is okay. Okay, I believe. So when God teaches us something else, you refuse to take that lesson. Whatever Bible teaches clearly, you say, oh, I have homosexual friends. No, I cannot take this. Just like Jonah said, I am poor Israel. I am anti-foreigner, Ninevite. I don't like those people. They are the enemy of my people. How can you ask me to preach gospel to them? So I refuse to take that lesson. Okay, now, you say, I have homosexual friend. God didn't ask you to not be friend with homosexual people. But he said, so I want to believe what they believe. So whenever God teach me that homosexual is against God, I don't want to listen. I want to close my eye on it, just like Jonah did. Even though everything happened around you, I choose to isolate myself. You ran away. You ran away far, far, far away. You think nobody knows. You are running away inside of your heart. Your spirit is running away. And then you went on a boat. You go on your own personal journey, your spiritual journey. Then something God's going to bring you back. God used some of the incident around you happening, going to bring you back. And you went into sleep. You cover your eyes. And you think you can make it. But I'm telling you, because the Bible teaches us, God is in control. God is a sovereign God. No matter where you go, no matter how much effort you try, how many verbs, how many actions they hear in Jonah's instant, is in vain, is useless. We need God, we need to be open up. God is using his mercy and grace to bring us back to him. You know, when people recognize, wow, this is God. When people say, who are you? In a sense, they are saying a relationship between that person and you. Let me tell you another story. Let's look at Luke 5:8, all right? Can you turn to Gospel of Luke 5:8? In this story, Jesus is calling disciples and asked them to cast the net to catch a fish. And then look at verse 5 of the chapter 5 of Luke. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we just let down the net as you say. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partner in other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. See, another miracle happened, right? And then look at Simon's reply. In verse 8, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knee and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. What is happening here? Can you tell me? Simon Peter is a fisherman, right? And Jesus tell him, this is the way to fish. You know, drive your boat to that location and cast your net on some direction. And they say, we already tried that before, but since you told us, let's do it again. So they did it. And they catch a lot of fish. They should be happy, right? Hey, good harvest. Good job, Jesus, right? But how come the response of Peter is kneel down before Jesus and say, go away from me, I am a sinner? Every time when you see a miracle happen, you realize there is a sovereign God, there is a holy God, and you realize how small we are, how sinful we are. So you're going to come face your sin before him. This is the right attitude. This is the only acceptable attitude when we witness God's miraculous work. That indeed you are God. I am a sinner. I will come before you, confess you are my Lord. I am a sinner. And that's what happened to those sailors around Jonah, right? And then again, also disciples, they see Jesus calm the storm. Put it a little bit too extreme, that it's a salvation knowledge. Because of that miracle, they realize they are in need of a savior, in need of Lord to save their sins. So they confess their sins. Otherwise, Simon Peter would confess to Jesus and say, hey, you are a better fisherman than me. No, he didn't say that, right? He said, you are my Lord. I am a sinner. So, friends, this is the message from Jonah's incident too. That Jonah supposed to be confessed when he see all those things happening, the storm, everything happening, he should kneel down before the Lord and confess that I am a sinner. I run away from your command. And I would do it. But instead, he continued to refuse to confess, even though everybody around him already realized and make their confession. So, you know, there's a more interesting story next week. You know, Pastor Jim will lead you through it. I'm not going to. Okay, but, you know, I think we can identify ourselves with that sailor, okay? I don't want you to identify yourself with Jonah, you know, but you can identify yourself with those sailors. When you see wonderful things happen in your life, what's your response? When you see your father or your mom or your friend struggling with their job, losing their job, and God helped them, what's your response? Or whatever happened to you, and then God help you, what is your response? You just take it for granted? Well, I'm not so bad. You know, maybe hold on a second. Pay attention to those details. Hey, there are so many people are out of job. You are not aware. It's very difficult to find a job this time. And so it's no guarantee. It is God's special providence. You know, so you have to give credit to God. Whatever good thing happens around us, there's a reason. And he wants to bring us back to that focus point is, who is behind all of this? Who is behind all the good thing and bad thing happen around your life? You know, you may think, oh, it's all my choices. It's all my doing. I choose to go to this school. I choose this job. You know, I choose to do this. I choose to do that. You may think you are doing all the choices. But brother and sister, our God is a sovereign God. He is behind everything that we do. He's behind all the decisions that we made. Because he's a sovereign God. Look at those sailors. They are foreigners. They worship pagan God. But God in control. God is in control of every little aspect of our life. And we are no escape. Why you have to escape from such a merciful God? Unless we are not holy enough. We are serving our sinful purpose, our sinful nature. You want to do something that you know in your mind, which is in contradiction to God's will. What is sin mean? Sin means in contradiction of God's will. Whatever you want to do right now, whatever you try to do right now, if it's not in accord with God's will, we need to be prepared. We need to turn around. Because everything away from God is a sin. And God will deal with it. Sometimes there are going to be storms in our life. When the storm comes, I wish you can remember all those stones that I share with you today. The stone that Jesus is with disciples, or the storm that Jonah faced. Which storm? Which difficulty? How are you going to interpret all those happening around you? Put God in the picture, and you will have an answer. Take God out of it. You will continue in the circle. No matter where you run, it's just like a circle. It's never stopped. You're going to face the same difficulty one more time. If you don't learn this lesson and be obedient to God, even though you think you are escaping from today, tomorrow, one more time, the same spiritual lesson will come upon you. You have to learn that again and again and again. And you don't want to waste your whole lifetime circling around. Choose to be obedient, then you will see God's will, and you will be blessed by God. Jonah is such a wonderful story. Let's continue next week. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what happened in our lives. You know, you are a sovereign God. You take care of us. You are not just a God, create us and leave us alone. You are with us. Every word of our prayer, you listen and answer. Every tears and suffering that we've been through, you know about it. You are with us all the time. I just pray that we will be sensitive to your will. When you show your will to us, we have an obedience attitude, a willing to obey and follow. Sometimes we are just like Jonah. But even Jonah was brought back to you with your merciful mercy for love. So we would like to pray to you your mercy. Because of your mercy, we are saved. Because of your mercy, that we are equipped to continue on our life. I just pray that you show your goodness upon us. Lead us with all the blessing, but not the difficulty. Because we are in the process of learning to discern your will. You know our willingness to be obedient to you. So help us to learn from those disciples, Sarah, Jonah, that we will repent of our sins, confess you are our Savior and the Lord of our life, so we can trust our life in your hands, and you will lead us all the way. Thank you for the message today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.